Good morning, church. Good to be with all of you today. Praise the Lord for the opportunity to be out in His house. I want to preach. My topic this morning is God is more than big enough. You know, God is more than big enough. And the scripture that I'm going to be using in this morning, what I'm going to be preaching out of this morning, you could look at this. I mean, it's a horrible story. It's a terrible story that I'm going to preach on this morning. But I still say that God is more than big enough to handle the problems in your life, in my life, whatever's going on. We serve a God that's more than big enough. If you would, turn to 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. I'm going to read one verse. I'm going to concentrate on the first part of the verse. I'll read the whole thing. But 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, the 32nd verse. When you're there, if you're able, please stand this morning so we read God's words together. But Elijah sat in the house, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him, but ere that the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, "See ye how this son of a murderer has sent to take away mine head? Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him." And what I want to concentrate on this morning is the first part of it. But Elijah sat in the house, and the elders sat with him. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, Father, I want to praise you this morning. I want to give you the glory that you so rightly deserve. Father, you have been more than good, Father, to us, Lord, and I want to praise you for that. Father, I want to ask you now, Lord, to go with each and every heart that's in here this morning, each and every individual. I pray, Father, that you know what? That their hearts would be open, that their minds would be receptive, Lord. And the Father, that, Lord, that you would put the anointing upon me, Lord, as I need that, Lord, or nothing can and will be accomplished, Father. And we will give you the praise for it all. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated, and thank you. Thank you. When you look at this scripture right here, I got to thinking about this as I was studying for this. You see this, and you see Elijah sitting. You see him calm. You see him, you know, just absolutely sitting there. Said he's with the elders, and he's sitting. I bet there's some praying going on, some other things. But can I tell you something? If we're going to go back, we're going to read some more of this story here in just a minute. And I want you to get the point that, you know what? Elijah believed that his God was more than big enough to handle the situation. If you go back a few verses there, and I'm going to start in verse 24 and of the same chapter, and I want to read this with you, and I want to read, this is a terrible story. And it said, "And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cap of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, 'Help my lord, O king.' And he said, 'If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress?' And the king said unto her, 'What aileth thee?' And she answered, 'This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat thy son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her, On the next day, give thy son, that we may eat him. And she hid her son.'" I want to start right there with that. I told you, this is a horrible story. It really is. Absolutely horrible. But I'm telling you, I'm still telling you this morning, my God is big enough. If we allow our God to be big enough. Here they were. They were surrounded by the enemy. We see this. They were besieged. That's what it's talking about. What else is going on? A famine had been struck in the land as well. These people were very starving to death is what was going on. But can I tell you this morning? There was a simple solution to their answer right there. Very simple. It was over in 2 Chronicles 7:14 when it said this. and has laid it out that even a child should be able to understand it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will hear their land. There would have been 19 kings over the northern kingdom in 209 years. You know how many of them are righteous? Zero. Zero of them. God had warned them time after time after time. He had told them, this scripture right here I just read to you, if my people were to call by my name, would just humble themselves, would just do that. They never did it the whole time. And it got to this point right here to where they were under besiegement and they were under a famine and they were starving to death. Psalms 103:8 says this, the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Can I tell you, I'm glad that He is plenteous of mercy in my life. I'm glad this morning that I can stand here and tell you that I praise God that He has had mercy on my soul. There was a time that I did not know the Lord as my Savior. And you know what? He still loved me. He still gave me the opportunity. But I tell you, if I had not accepted that opportunity, I'm telling you, I would end up dying and going to a devil's hell. And can I tell you something this morning? I don't know anybody's heart in this church this morning. Don't care to know it. But you know why? Because Jesus knows it. God knows it. But what I want to lay out to you this morning, God is telling you, if you would humble yourself and pray to Him this a prayer of repentance, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ will save your soul this morning. God gave them chance after chance, and eventually His patience did wear out. It really did. But understand this, the Syrian army didn't come just to pick a fight and just to leave. They come and they besiege that city is what they did. They came to stay for the long term. They come to complete. All that they were wanting was complete surrender. And that's all that would satisfy them. How does that apply to us today? Understand, you have an adversary, which is the devil this morning. And I'm telling you, he is here for the long term. He's here for the long term. You shouldn't be surprised at that. You know what? He just didn't come one time and then just leave you alone the rest of the time. I've been saved for many years, and there's been some people in here that's been saved for a lot of years. But I'm telling you, the devil has come back once in a while from time to time to try to come after me. He will not give up. He will not. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, look, turn to Luke 4:13 because I believe this is important this morning. Luke 4:13. When you get there, say amen, please. Luke 4:13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, who was he tempting? He was tempting the Son of God. He was tempting Jesus Christ Himself. He was laying temptation at His feet. And He said, He departed Him for what? Forever? He departed Him for a season. My Bible tells me He's going to come back after the Lord. And if He's coming after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if He's coming after the Son of God, where do you think you stand with Him this morning? You don't think that He's not coming back after you? You don't think that He's going to try to come after you? Even though the Son of God was victorious in the wilderness, can I tell you something? Satan wasn't going to leave him alone. Wasn't going to do it. The devil was coming back and he wasn't giving up. We are told of other temptations of the Lord in the Bible. We're talking about what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there's a lot of other temptations we probably have never written in this Bible that the Satan went after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wasn't giving up. There is times you probably felt that you have been under siege. Has anybody in here ever felt like they've been under siege? I'm raising my hand this morning. Because there have been time in my life I felt I have been under siege. I have. You may feel a little like Amos 5:19. Let me read it to you to see if you felt this way. As if a man did flee from a lion, and then a bear met him. And there he went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. I know I'm taking it a little bit out of context this morning, because that's talking about something else. But can I tell you, have you ever felt that way in your life? This preacher boy has. I felt that way in the last few months. I felt that way in the last year or so. It just seemed like bang, 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 bang. Still feels like I've been under siege. But Greg, my God's still big enough.
Praise the Lord.
My God is still big enough to handle the problems in my life. And I praise Him for that this morning. Because without Him, I'm telling you, there's no way that this old boy could make and do what he does. Something's going on. Maybe something's going on with your health this morning. And maybe after you got that straightened out, maybe something's going on with your spouse's health or somebody else in your family. Or maybe it's finances. Or maybe it's something else. Child of God, I'm glad to I serve a God who has whipped the devil. My Bible tells me that He whipped the devil. How do I know that? Because He died on that cross. He rose out of that grave one day. And I'm telling you this morning, we have a God that whipped the devil. We do. The devil has been defeated. Let me give you some scriptures. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, doing what? He nailed it to the cross. That's what he did. He nailed it to the cross. Then it goes on to say, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly. What's the last part of it? Triumphing over them in it. He is triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. That's one thing I want you to remember. But also remember, the devil will never give up trying to do to your life and to mess your life up and try to take and tear you down. He'll never give up. Not until you've taken your last breath on this side of eternity. One of these days, I say it all the time, my faith's going to be sight.
Praise the Lord.
Amen? Praise God. My faith will be sight one day. And so will yours if you're a child of God one day. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Brothers and sisters, if he isn't telling us to put on the whole armor of God and say just a one-off that the devil bother you, you put it on there and you leave it on there. Now, top of the military siege, it says in chapter 6, verse 25, also tells us there was a great famine in Samaria. Can I tell you this morning, man, I hate the devil. I got a few amens. I'm going to say it again. Man, I hate the devil.
Amen.
Amen. You hate him as much as I hate him because he is a destroyer. He is one to do the things that you know, I hate him. There is not only a besiegement, but also a famine. The longer that I have been a Christian, the longer that I have been a preacher and preach and talk to folks who have been saved for a number of years, the more I'm convinced that the devil picks his moments. Can I have an amen? He picks his moments. He picks them. During my walk with the Lord, I've walked through some dry places. My health has not been as perfect. My spiritual health has not been perfect sometimes. And during those times, Alita, guess what? That's when the old devil comes, and that's when he tries to pick. That's when he tries to come after us. That's what he'll do. Times I haven't been on top of the world. And I'm telling you, he's been right there to try to come after me. And those have been the times the devil has tried to pounce. The devil picks his points, he picks his time of attack, and he picks his moment of attack. And in that moment, that's when he does his best work sometimes. That's when he does it. Guess what? When David went out on the roof, I don't think David went out on that roof to look for women. I don't think he did. I think David walked out on the roof, but guess what the devil placed out there? The devil placed something out there that got stuck in his mind, and David just had to have it. Amen? Can I tell you something this morning? The devil knows your weaknesses. He knows what's going on. He knows what turns your crank. Can I say that? He knows that. He knows what turns it. And I'm telling you this morning, if there's anything that the devil can use to try to come after you, whatever it may be, he'll do it. Can I tell you something else? What may be Mark's weakness may not be mine. But he knows Mark's. The devil knows the moment. Can I tell you something else? The devil doesn't know the future. Praise God, I serve a God that does the moment, and I serve a God that knows the future.
Amen.
I praise God this morning for that. I know he knows both of them. The devil's not omnipotent, but brothers, he knows the moment, and he knows what to do with the moment when he does it. He couldn't get her. He couldn't get her out of her mind. And he knew. We know what happened on the rest of the story with David. The devil may be good in the moment, but praise God, he's not good in the future. And God knows what he's doing. Amen. He does. Let me say something to you that I heard years ago. And I know you've heard this, and I've repeated it here before. But I want to say it to you again, brothers and sisters. Listen. The devil, I wrote this down, said again, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. It'll do it every time. So the devil seized a moment. Then he had the famine, and look what happened. Look what happened to these people. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head or a donkey's head was sold for 4 score pieces of silver and a fourth part of a calf's dung. Ron, I bet you and Mary didn't get up this morning saying, man, let's go find us some donkey head meat today and a little bit of dove's dung. Let's just go find a little bit of that. I didn't get up saying that. But I'm telling you right now, understand this. There are things that you would do when sin gets a hold of you, that whenever sin grabs you, that you think that you would never do in your life, that you would never do. Can I tell you something? I believe this nation, and I believe the world, is on a diet of ass's head and dove's dung. Can I say that to you this morning? Absolutely. I believe they're right there this morning. I believe that they're right after it. They're going after it. And not only are they going after it, they're paying for it. They're paying for it. They said a donkey's head back then, if you take that, was over $602 in today's money. And dove's dung was like $37. Can you imagine dove's dung taking, scraping it off into your hand? I don't mean to make you sick, but this is what these people were doing to try to get by. This is what they were doing. You're saying, well, that's disgusting. I agree with you. That is disgusting. Again, let me repeat, though. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay for it. Absolutely. And they are praying for it, and they're going to hell in a handbasket, and they're saying that it tastes good. Brother said, do you realize the Bible tells me that there's pleasure in sin for a season? And people will pay for it. And they'll go, and they're paying for it. And not even realizing that what you really need and what the world really needs is a diet change. That's what they need, is a diet change. They need to get off of this stuff and get on to God. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm telling you, my life didn't begin until I got saved. My life did not begin until I got saved. And you say, what do you mean by that, Dave? I'm telling you, whenever the Lord filled my heart with the Spirit of God, that's when my life really began. That's when I really began to understand what love is all about. That's when I really began to understand what life is about, and what my purpose in this life is. You want to know what your purpose in life is? Get to know the one that is big enough. Get to know Jesus as your Savior. Let Him show you what purpose is. Isaiah 1:19, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. No more donkey's head. No more dove dung. Brother, you will eat of the good of the land. The good of the land. Too many folks have been living on donkey's head and they've been living on dove's dung. And what they need is the liberating gospel message of Jesus Christ in their life. That's what we need. If the Son therefore shall make you free, what are you? You're free indeed. Praise His name this morning. You'll eat of the goodness of God. The world needs a change of diet. And guess who that dietitian is? It's Jesus Christ. Amen? That's who it is. That dietitian's Jesus Christ this morning. Folks, these people were in a dire strait. They were in a horrible situation. Famine, and the enemy had surrounded them. So what do? They do like many folks today. They do this. Today they tried to solve their problems on their own. or they turn to other people to try to solve their problems. You see, there may be folks in here this morning that are facing some pretty big problems. Again, I don't know what anybody's going through. I don't know that. You may, and you know your needs, you know what you're facing. You know that every morning when you wake up, there may be something facing you right eye to eye that is a big problem in your life. And I'm telling you, there are times in my life I have faced those things, and I know that there are people that face those on a regular. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just telling you, I know for a fact there are people with problems. And it may be hard for you to get away from it. You know what? They're it's just staring you right in the face. And many times, there's what we do to solve the problem. Look at verse 26. And the king of Israel was passing upon the wall where a woman cried unto him, saying, "Help me, my lord, O king." I can tell you this, when you turn to man to solve your problems all the time, man will not always help you. Another government program will not solve it. Another meeting will not always solve it. You can go right on down the list. Those things aren't going to solve it. But can I tell you something here this morning? I have a God, I serve a God who is more than big enough. More than big enough this morning. I can tell you, more often than not, you'll be disappointed when you turn to man. More often than not. But I serve a God that will not let you down, that's not disappointing. Absolutely. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Get it straight and mark it. He will supply all your needs, not all your wants. I tell you, he's always supplied my needs. I can say amen to that. You can too. He supplied everything that I've needed. All my wants? No. No. I don't need everything that I wanted. A different political party in office is not going to change that. Will not solve it. You can ask yourself, my Lord, is there so much division? Why is there so much division? Why is there so much killing? Why is there so much of this going on in this country? And then keep going and going and going. As a nation, we need to repent. We just need to repent. Like I said earlier. The king said it best. Maybe he didn't even know what he was saying, but he said it best in verse 27. And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee?" If the Lord doesn't help you, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. If God can't help you, I'm telling you, surely I can't help you. And as a nation or as an individual, we're looking for our help in the wrong sources. I'm telling you, I will lift up my eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which has made heaven and earth. Then, to take it one step further, the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered this woman and said unto me, "Give thy son that we may eat him today." I told you, this story is horrible and it gets worse. "Give me thy son that we may eat him today, and we shall eat my son tomorrow." So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her the next day, "Give thy son that we may eat him," and that he had hit her son. I'm going to say it again. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. You could say, "I would never do that. I would never do that to a child. I would never do that to a child." But you want to know the truth? And I'm going to be just blunt with you. You've heard me say this before. Millions of people have sacrificed their children to Moloch. Millions of them have. With abortion. The king hears this, and all he does is he wants to play the blame game. That's all he does. And brothers and sisters, we are experts sometimes at playing the blame game. And he said this, God, do so more also to me if the head of Elijah, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day." In society, we want to blame everybody else for what's wrong because people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear it, especially when it comes to hearing what's wrong and we need to repent. Jesus said one time, "But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I've heard of God." And Elijah, in the midst of all this heartache and this chaos, the verse of scripture that I first read to you said he's sitting in the house with the elders. You know why? Because none of this stuff may be borrowed than Elijah, but Elijah knows he serves a God that is bigger than all that. I can go over to chapter 7. You can finish reading it over there, the first two verses. So what happens? The Syrian army, the ones that are surrounding him, the Bible tells me that God takes care of that problem. And he said they go running off because they think something's happening. And the people go running out the gate, and the food and stuff is just abundant. You see, we serve a God that is bigger than all that. They didn't have to eat your children, Greg.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
They didn't have to eat.
Amen.
They didn't have to eat a donkey's head. They didn't have to eat dove's dung. Because the God that they served, if they'd have just put their faith and hope and trust in him, it said he would have supplied their needs. Elijah knew it. I'm telling you, do you know that this morning? Do you know it this morning? Truly know it? Do you truly believe it? Let me ask you that. Do you truly believe that God can supply all of your needs? I'm going to offer you something here. We're going to have an altar call here in just a minute. We're going to. I know it's a horrible story, and I just fought back and forth with whether or not to preach this morning. But I thought it had to be preached. I think God impressed it upon me enough that it had to be preached. We serve a God that's more than big enough. What we don't need is preachers standing up here behind a pulpit thinking that they're up here and God's down here. We need a big God.
Amen.
And we need little men preaching it. Amen? We don't need bigger churches per se. We need a bigger God. We don't need more polished preachers. We need a bigger God. That's what we need. Can I tell you this morning? God's more than big enough for your problems this morning. More than big enough for them. But you know what you've got to do? This is on you. You're going to have to come to an altar, whether it's at this church or at your home or somewhere, and you're going to have to give those things to him. And can I tell you something else you need to do? When you bring them to this altar, Ken, we need to leave them there.
Amen.
Wherever that altar's at. Because I'm telling you, I've seen it too many times. People come to an altar, and what do? They come up here and pray, then they pick it up, whatever they're taking, and take it right back to their seat with them. God said, bring all your cares to me.
Amen.
Bring them all. We serve a God that's big enough.
Amen.
Big enough. Amen.